good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. One of the special parts of the day, because I'm here and you're there, and we can touch one another on some level, share some thoughts, share some feelings, some observations, ask questions. Golly, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? The internet radio. Oh, it brings the world in your back door, so to speak, your front door, and we're all friends. Today, I decided to discuss prosperity. You know, out of so many questions that I get for readings from the Akashic Records or questions from people in general where their interests are, it's in the financial section today. There's a lot of fear, people losing jobs. I'm sure you know somebody who's lost a job recently, or you know somebody who's caught up in the problems of the changes that's going on with businesses restructuring and so forth. And so it's so easy to be caught up in fear. So a couple things I wanted to talk about that had to do with prosperity. First of all, we have had two free conference calls already that are organized by Lord Metatron that were centered around prosperity. And there's a series of four. And we have set up two of them coming up soon. And so if you are interested in hearing of the great wisdom of Lord Metatron that is centered around prosperity and the energies that are changing, do sign up for those two conference calls. They've been very successful. People have been very interested in them. And what Lord Metatron does is he gives me a prepared message, and then he has a meditation that he schedules later. You can sign up for that at www.metatronminutes.com. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the information that he brought forth on the first two conference calls. As I said, there is a schedule of four. And so one of the things that he talked about is the new energies that have come in. And I'm sure you're aware of these energies on some level, because people really are talking about them on the internet. They're channeling information about it. And we know that for most of the eons since perhaps Atlantis, the masculine energies have overtaken the feminine energies. And we sort of know that, but we don't always think about how that surfaces. Where manifesting was concerned, if you stop and think about it for a second, there was the king during the Middle Ages and the serfs and those that owned the land was very masculine energy back there at that point in time, where the masculine brought forth what they wanted through force, control, domination. And so on the point of manifesting, it was manifested in a fashion that was similar to that. In other words, there would be this great concentration, this great force, bringing in what someone wanted in this plane, and there was an aspect of masculine energy used around that. It has been even up to recently where truth many times had been suppressed, and it was control, domination, force that brought into reality, into our world, what we were experiencing. And that money was an issue in that also. And so now we are seeing a change. There's a change in energies. And it is bewildering in a sense, because the method for manifesting is changing also. And this came forth from the first conference call that Lord Metatron brought forth. And so what that new energy is in manifesting is love. We can't, the universe, according to Lord Metatron, is not going to support manifesting through force. It is going to support manifesting through love. And so the love energy must be brought forth now in manifesting. And I think that that is very fascinating in the sense that when we go through the process of planning our lives financially and manifesting what we want to do, there must be the element of love there now. So it must be good and proper and prosperous for all involved. And in this hasn't completely changed in the physical yet, and what we are seeing now is chaos. And Lord Metatron discussed that in the second conference that he held on manifesting. And he mentioned something very fascinating, I do believe, that when there is change in this dimension, it is not like all of the energies are destroyed or swept away, but rather they are changed. And so going from the masculine force kind of manifesting and implementation, instead of all of that being destroyed, it's rearranged. And so it's rearranged, new energies come in, rearrange the particles here in this dimension, and this is where we are right now. We are in the midst of reforming or changing a pattern. And the new pattern, as far as finances are concerned and manifesting, is this element of love. And so as the old is, shall we say, restructuring, turning to the new, we are seeing chaos. And this is what we're in the midst of now. In the financial areas, we are in the midst of chaos. But understand that it is one step in the process. And this is what Lord Metatron is telling us, is that what we are seeing around us now is but a step in the process. And know that you will be provided for, and that it is necessary to go beyond fear. It is fear that keeps us from staying on the path and bringing into our lives what we choose, what we want, what our plans for the future will be. And this is what he does with the meditations. For instance, that particular conference call, he worked on releasing fear from the physical energy body that is the subtle body that is around the physical. And so if you haven't signed up for that schedule, do go and sign up now, because we will be going into the third and fourth installment, and the others will be repeated. And not only that, but we will be moving through different topics. The first topic that we decided to work with is this concept of prosperity, because, number one, you have to understand what is going on in the world presently. Number two, you have to clear the subtle body from the negative emotional aspects that are still clinging to us. You know, on our Saturday shows, that when I work with Charlene McNeil, and that's on every other Saturday, we work very closely in this area, reprogramming the negative emotions in the etheric body and the subtle body. And this is what we do on the conference calls with Lord Metatron. And for those who order a soul reading with Lord Metatron, he does the same thing. and he has a special gift for people when they do connect with him. So I think it's very important to understand that we have challenges today. We are protected. We are surrounded by love. We are in God's hands. We are God's charges. But what that means is we might have to change our thinking. Take it out of the box, for instance. Think of new directions. For instance, if you're developing or delivering some kind of service to people and you had an office and you can't support the office any longer, you might have to think outside of the box and think of a different setup. You might have to take your business to a home office. You might have to be prospecting differently or delivering your services differently. We might even be getting back to the point where we're going to be doing some bartering for services between one another. Or we might be taking a whole new direction and not even be working for an employer any longer, a corporate entity who so-called gives us a job. We might even be making and forming our own employment in some fashion. It reminds me of a story that I heard a long time ago, and I talked about this before, and I think it's very appropriate now. It was a story of a woman she didn't have children. Her husband had died, and she is what you would have called a person who stayed at home, took care of the house, so to speak, and her husband went off to work, and he took care of everything. He wrote the checks out for the bills, and she took care of the household, and he took care of other details. Well, when he died, she didn't know where things were. She knew nothing about running the financial aspect of the house, and she wasn't even sure that she had enough money to do anything, didn't have skills, and so she was at a very bewildered point in her life. And she found out that they didn't even have enough life insurance. And so what she had to work with, she took everything, did a tally on everything, paid bills, and she figured she had $5,000. Now, of course, this was quite a few years ago, and it's not what she did so much and the dollars involved so much that I'm speaking here, but rather the concept. Her life had changed, and she decided to look outside of the box. She sat down, she looked at the money she had, she looked at her skills, and it was a bleak future for her. Until she realized that one of her skills was that she knew how to drive. And in that, she decided, well, what could I do with driving? And she thought about all the different things where she could earn a living by driving a vehicle. And she came up with the idea of buying, she bought a period piece, which was an old Rolls Royce with the money that she had. Of course, she couldn't do that today, but then she could have. And she got a uniform that looked like, a person who drives a limo, a regular, I guess you might say, a livery type uniform. And she started driving graduates to their prom. So that they would be safe. The parents liked that, to see that their kids were driven back and forth to the prom, you know, to home and wherever they had to go. So they hired her for the night. And she started driving executives back and forth from the work to the airport rather than take a cab or, some other vehicle. And after a while, she started to produce a very good income for herself. It's not what she did so much that I want to discuss, but rather she looked out of the box and she assessed what she had, what her skills were, and she thought about it and she came up with an idea. I know of so many stories like that, and I've talked about them at one point or another. There was another situation. This woman was a waitress and a nice restaurant in town, and the employer came in with some cheesecake, and the woman tasted it. They were going to purchase these cheesecakes from a new supplier, and she says, "My goodness, I can bake a better cheesecake than that." And this is what she did. She came in a couple days later with this cheesecake, and her employer loved it, and he started buying these cheesecakes from her and for the restaurant, and people wanted to take cheesecakes home. So she started baking these cheesecakes, and after a while, the demand for her cheesecakes became so great that she started getting women from the neighborhood to come in and bake cheesecakes for her. She started buying new stoves that she put in the basement, and she started this business of making cheesecakes. And she has a big business here in town where she has her own warehouses now, and starting from something very simple, she built it into something big. There are so many stories out there. People looked outside of the box. They didn't look for employers to give them a job. Now, I mention this because there are so many people, number one, who have lost jobs, but there are so many people who are in fear of losing a job. And I think it's time to start thinking outside the box. If you feel that your company is going to downsize, or you have a concern that you're going to wake up one morning without a job, then start thinking about some of these things. And as you think about these things, what you really want to do is meditate over it. Engage your higher mind. Engage the experience of your soul to help you direct you. And I have found from people asking for readings that one of the things that seems to be an issue that comes up all the time is that people are not meditating, and they do not know the tools to reach the higher mind. They do not look for synchronicities in their lives after they pray for a result. They don't watch their dreams. They are ignoring the inspiration of their soul. They pray to God. They ask for something, but they're not alert and observant to hear the answer. And I think this is very important today. I bring this whole issue up because we are in a moment of transformation. And since the world is going to be transforming around us, are you going to be left behind? Or are you going to take proactive actions? Or are you going to sit back and worry? To my point of view, the only thing that's going to get you someplace is to take a proactive approach, to look for the guidance of your soul. Perhaps some of the biggest blessing for you might come out of this, because instead of working for someone else, and I'm not suggesting that you don't, if you're in a place where you can't because you have lost a job and can't find another one, maybe what your soul is directing you to is to make your own job, make your own income, find a way, a niche, and that niche is going to be, number one, where your talent is, and number two, where there is a demand at the time. And so no matter where finances are, there is always some place where there is a demand. I remember when shopping centers first started to become an important organization out in the street as a selling tool. It was one of the things that the early shopping centers did, the people who set them up, is they did a study on what the needs of the community were. And they made that, they ascertained the needs and decided where they were going to build these shopping centers. And it is the same with us. To determine the need and see how it fits into your skills and be willing to take another path to think outside of the box, to view your life from a different perspective. Well, we have a caller, and your name, please.
Hi, my name is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. What can we do for you?
Well, first, I want to say I'm so thrilled to talk to you, and I love you, Carolyn.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. That's a delightful thing to say. I love you, too.
Well, I've listened to you many times, and most people ask, want to know what they signed up for, what they came here for. And mm-hmm. that is also my question, because it seems like I've been stumbling around in the dark my whole life. So if you could give me a clue, I would be very grateful.
I'll see what we can do for you, Nancy, but don't be too harsh on yourself. What I have found is this, that for most of us, the early years when we have to become educated, we have to learn how to live in our society, we have to learn to use our bodies. And that is like childhood. Then we go through a period of time where we're usually working on our past obligations, which you might say our karmic contracts. And so we might meet someone and marry. We might have a family. We have agreed perhaps to bring children into the world, or if not, there are other issues where we have worked and lived. And so we're working out some of the past agreements that we have made. And then we come to another part of our life where, for most of us, we really start working on our missions. And so the only reason that I mention this, Nancy, is a lot of people feel like you, oh, I've been stumbling around. And it's a case of really working through some issues until we get to the point where it is our time then to work on our mission. And I can remember when I was at the point where you are. I kept saying to myself, my goodness, what in the world did I come to do? When am I going to start my mission? And I had friends, they were doing things that I thought was their mission and doing quite well. And I used to feel so out of sorts because I felt like perhaps how you're feeling right now. It's a very frustrating feeling.
Yeah.
To want to do, but not knowing what to do.
Yes, I feel like I've never figured out what I wanted to do when I grew up. And here I am, 50-something, and I still haven't figured that out.
You're still thinking in terms of when you grow up, huh?
Yes.
Well, it's not unusual. And sometimes it is a case of timing, and it's what I found in my life. It was a case of timing. And so I can look back on everything that has happened to me, and I realize it all came about in due time. And so that could be what's happening to you. But anyway, what we'll do, Nancy, is we'll go to the Akashic Records, and we'll see what we can find out for you. But before we do that, have you meditated over this?
Yes, I have.
Did you get any answers?
The one thing I got really strongly is that it told me I was going to be a beacon of light.
You were going to be a what?
A beacon of light.
A beacon of light. How beautiful.
Yes, like I feel like maybe some kind of way shower.
Ah, But you don't know which way to show people.
No, not yet.
Okay, well, so you have this sense that you were here for a specific reason is the way it sounds to me. Would you agree with that? Yeah.
And also, when you talk about the priestess goddess energy, that resonates with me.
Ah. And that's another thing, too. You see, we're really just coming into that energy. And it could be that you've been here waiting for that cycle.
Ah.
You see, if you have something to do with the goddess priestess energy, then you have been waiting for that energy to come in, and it's starting to come in now, isn't it?
Yes, I am feeling like something is being activated.
Well, let's see if we can get a clue for you, Nancy, and find out what we can do.
All right.
And, of course, what I do is there is a part of my mind that I send to the center of the cosmos because that's where these records are. And the first time I tried to go there, it took a long time for me to get there and get back. And after experience and using it, it's much faster now. And it is because there is a part of my soul that is there, that resides there. And so I work with my sisters who are there, and there's two of them standing there right now. And so there is a part of my soul and two of my sisters that work with the records. And what they do is they sift through the records for your record, and they find that because of your vibrational energy. All of our vibrational energy is different from one another, like a snowflake is different from each other. And so that is how they put the records together, and that is how they retrieve them. And this is what they have done. They have retrieved your record, and they are showing that record to me. And as they show it to me, there is a lot of light that is surrounding the record. And so what we have to do is to wait a few seconds until that light clears away so that I can go below that and view it. And what I am seeing, they show these records to me as a book, though in essence it's not a real book because, as you can imagine, there's not real books out in the cosmos, but it is it is an energetic, you might say, circle. It's very much like a computer backup on a floppy disk is what these records are like, and they sit on a magnetic spot, and that is how the records are kept. But they show me what looks like the cover of a book because each cover denotes what kind of a record it is, in the sense that how the soul was brought into being. And they are showing me that the cover on your record is brown, which means you were, and most of the souls have this cover on their record. It is because when God called these souls forth, he called them forth on the ray of love. And there are so many different aspects of love, love of books, love of healing, love of teaching. And so even though a person is called on the ray of love, they could express that in many different ways.
Did you say the color was brown?
Yeah, because it indicates the love energy. That is how they show me the souls created on the love ray. They show it as a brown cover. Oh. It is the most abundant cover on all of the different records because so many of the souls were called forth on the ray of love. And if you want to know more about that, it is just so fascinating because the Creator had a plan that we call the Tree of Life. And it was the way the Creator had determined how life was going to progress. and he, she, they, them called in groups of souls under different color rays. And your group was called in, as I said, under love, and the main color was pink, but yours has some sort of like a peach and a green and a gold that was used that helped designate the kinds of talents that you have. And there was a sound, and so there was color. There was the white light that came from the Godhead, and the sound and the color. There were geometric shapes. All of this was brought in together when a group of souls were created, and that was your colors. And so you, one of your driving forces that would make you happy would be to express love in some fashion. And so the yellow, of course, denotes the wisdom. And so your love would be expressed through wisdom that you have carried. And you have, over the eons of time, you have been in great service, not only to God, but to humanity. And so you always came to work for humanity under the auspices of the God energy. And so that has taken many forms over the years. I see you in temples as the Isis initiate. How does that feel when I tell you I see you in the robes with the white dress of Isis, as an Isis initiate with a gold band around your arm that designated the highest graduate or the one with the most greatest information about that school of Isis? And I see the gold link belt around your waist, and there was also some gold that you wore around the neck. How does it feel when I tell you that you wore those clothes?
I've always been very attracted to the name Isis. In fact, one of my cats is named that.
One of your cats, I love it.
Yes, a black one.
So you did express your life many times in the temples of Isis, and I see you there in different forms of the temples at Isis, and usually there was a large pool in the center of the temple, and so the initiates used water was something that was very important in their spiritual life. So they used water in the different ceremonies, and they had a sacred pool that they would gather the water from. And so that aspect of what you did in the past is not appropriate today, in the sense that we don't have groups now that worship in the same fashion in the temples that the Isis initiates did. However, there is still that understanding of the feminine healing energy that Isis represented. I see you also working with energy in the past. Would have been the energy of Isis using Reiki. Have you studied Reiki at all?
I'm very interested in it. I mean to take a class as soon as I possibly can.
I would suggest that you do that, because this is knowledge that you have earned in the past, and if you would take a class with Reiki, it would you would remember very quickly how to use the energy and work with it. Reiki is much older than the current explanation of how Reiki came about. The Reiki master who brought forth Reiki was remembering what he had learned from the past, but actually Reiki really was introduced, now this is what they're telling me from the record, was really introduced to this planet through Isis. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, Isis had what I'm seeing here is the Isis knot. It was a red, I don't know how to explain it. It was a like an amulet, something that was handcrafted that looked like the cords of a knot that was red, and they usually wore that on. I'm seeing some of them wore it on the belt, some of them wore it around the neck, but this knot, in a sense, held some aspect of magic that had to do with the healing aspects that they used. They somehow imbued the energy into this amulet that they used to transfer the energy to other people. But it seems like it would be a very good idea for you to take some courses in Reiki that you would remember this from the past, and you would feel very like you were accomplishing something that would be very satisfying to become again the Reiki master and work with that healing that you have great talent with that. So that's a talent that you had in the past, and I sense from your reaction it would be something that you would take to very easily.
Well, yes, you know, I read the book by Eric Pearl, Reconnection, and just from reading the book, I've had this energy coming out of all this tingling in my fingers ever since then. So
well,
that was my first clue.
Yeah, you're starting to remember, dear. We don't pick up these sort of things as an accident. You know, our soul prompts us to become aware of certain things in our lives, and your soul had prompted you to become aware of, again, of this energy that you, well, what they're showing me is that you're actually a master at that, and
wow,
that you could be working from a great healing aspect with people. Now, getting back to what you came to do into this lifetime. That the Reiki energy is just one aspect of what you could be working with. But what you really came to do is to work with people one-on-one. That you would be working with people who are new to the whole concept of the metaphysical. In other words, there are people here who have come to work with souls on different levels. And there would be those who would work with souls who are just opening themselves up to the metaphysical world, and then they progress on different levels. They have different fields. And so there's many aspects of this. So in other words, way showers work on many different levels with souls who are either just beginning. So in other words, you could work with Reiki with people who maybe have not opened themselves up to this greater world of the metaphysical, and as they work with you, they then become open to working with more advanced, you know, a student working with teachers who would be bringing them up to a higher level. And so you might say you have taken what would be called the humble path. Meaning, does that suit you? Does that sound?
Yes, it very much suits me.
Yeah, the humble path. In other words, nothing showy, nothing that's going to be up on a theater marquee.
Yes.
but you would be networking with people. In other words, once you go to some classes and you start to remember your Reiki energy, when that starts to come back full blown, you will then meet other people who are interested in the same topic. And so you would do very well, like, to start after you learn or remember the skill, because you already have the skill, you just don't remember it, to join some organizations on the internet who are involved in that same interest of alternate healing, like Reiki. Start working with groups, and what's going to happen is you're going to start to remember the work that you did as the priestess, as the guide, as that awakening of the feminine aspect of the soul. And of course that goes for the males and the females, but you will do very well working from the feminine aspect. And when I say the feminine aspect, you understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Yes,
divine priestess.
Very much.
And so
the divine feminine.
Yeah, this is what you came to do. And it is a little rude, but I see you gathering groups of people around you. Like I said, not the sort of thing that you're going to put up on a marquee, but you will have great respect as the beginning wave, so to speak, teaching people the awareness, opening them up to what is in the metaphysical. And with that, you will grow also.
All right. That's wonderful.
And so
I'm actually already doing that, I think. I have some friends that have become curious about all these things, these groups I go to. And
well, you see, you're already starting to become involved in it, so you're not as lost as you think you are. In other words, your soul is already leading you there. It's just that your ego wasn't aware that that's what you were planning on doing.
Yes, that's it. Could I ask you about one more thing, Carolyn?
Yes.
Do we have time?
Another minute or two. We'd like to give someone else a chance.
Okay. It's just that I went through an awakening in 1976 where I was in a state of bliss for several months.
I love it.
Yeah, it was definitely the best time I've ever had. But then I fooled around and lost it. And so ever since then, I've wondered, well, you know, like, how did I screw up? Why did I lose that? What did I do? And will I get another chance at
It'll
that?
It'll come back. I think what you need to do, you take your Reiki lessons, and then you really decide that you're going to devote time each day, preferably at the same time, and do some meditating. You need to connect with your higher mind. You need to connect with that sense of bliss again. Through meditation, we are not only able to connect to our higher mind, but we are also able to follow a string back to the Godhead. And
right.
That is very exciting.
Okay, I've been meditating, but it's been kind of here and there. I know I need to be more regular about that.
Well, not only regular, but to set up a discipline, a method, which is either using candles or music or maybe all of them, candles, music, the scent of flower essences, and using the emotion, not the intellectual understanding, but the emotion of appreciation, gratitude, love. When you see the beauty in nature or the innocence of a child, how you felt.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down when you meditate and take that emotion with you. Very important, because that is what gathers the attention of the higher mind. And so people meditate. They think that they just sit there and do nothing, but that's not exactly true. you meditate, you receive, and you send. There will be times when you will sit there and you will receive what Spirit has to send you, but there's also times when one needs to be proactive and send this energy to their higher mind, which you can just see it as above your head someplace. It will get there. And just send it and be as relaxed as you can. It's very important to breathe deeply, to relax, to get into the alpha state, and to send those emotions to your higher mind. At some point, you will feel a subtle connection, a change, where you've gotten the attention of your higher mind, and then you sit and you wait for that sense of connection, and then you ask your question, and you will receive the answer.
Okay.
So call back and let me know how it's going. You're at the beginning, dear Nancy.
Yes, I'm just very excited, and I thank you so much for that clue. I'm going to jump right on that.
I'm so glad you way shower. You just go out there and show the way.
I'm going to.
See your beacon of light.
Thank you, Carolyn.
You're welcome, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And so I'm really glad that Nancy called, because we got into the concept of meditating. And for the last two Sundays, I did talk about that. I think it's one of the most important issues, along with this prosperity and the change of particles in the ethers. These two things are extremely important, and I'm glad Nancy called so we can talk about that again. Do go to the website at www.metatronminutes.com. There is so much there that is so beautiful. We have put so much there that you can download, you can read. There's articles there, and there is an awful lot of information. Also, one of the newer websites that we've done is www.iamyeshuareturned.com. Now, everything on that website was dictated to me by Yeshua himself. And I've had people send notes being critical of the name Yeshua, that it should be Jesus. But I would like to mention that his mother did not call him Jesus. She called him Yeshua. And if you do some research on it, you will see that there is two spellings of Yeshua, and that would have been the Hebrew Aramaic way of pronouncing his name. And the word that has come down to us, the name Jesus, is actually a translation that has come over from Greek. And when you do some research on it, you will notice that the vowel sounds were different in Hebrew than they were from Greek, and just how the name got changed to Jesus was an incorrect pronunciation from the Hebrew. So that is very fascinating, and I didn't really know that before we had set up the website. We had set up the website at Yeshua's request, and then it wasn't until, like I said, I had people critical of the name Yeshua that I did the research and I saw, well, that was the Hebrew way of pronouncing the name. Also on that site, he asked me to put up pictures from the Jordan area, because there are a lot of people who are going to the website who lived during that time, and he has put memories, remembrances of the different areas, and it might trigger your memory. We also have two series that he is dictating to us. One is about his teachings, and those questions, he gives me the questions, and we work with that, and he dictates the answers. And then there is also the journey of his soul from the very beginning. And they are fascinating. So if Yeshua or Jesus, whatever name you have been accustomed to calling him, if he is someone special in your life, you would enjoy those two things that we're doing there. And then my other works, my other books, they are all at carolynevers.com. Now, we don't have a lot of time left. And if someone wants to call in real quick over the next 5 minutes, it's 877-876-5227. Another question that I get a lot is when people ask for an Akashic reading is they have questions about, do I need to move someplace to a new location? I don't seem to be meeting the right people here, the connections. Did I make a commitment to live someplace special? Well, in reading many records for people, I have found that this is true in this sense, that many times souls do make a commitment to live in a particular area. Sometimes people are there to watch over a vortex or to work with a vortex, or they are in some power spot where they are helping to bring down energies, or they might be living in an area where the individuals who are surrounding them are not of a high enough vibration, and it's actually a challenge to them. So we have situations where people actually made a commitment to live in a certain place, or they're living in a place that's not working for them energetically, or they made no commitment whatsoever, and they feel kind of lost where they are. Again, working with your higher mind, as we talked about earlier, through meditation is certainly a way. Now, another way is dowsing a mat. In other words, if you have absolutely no concept at all where to go, you can douse in many different directions. You can douse with a crystal. There's many tools that people use for getting answers from their higher mind if you're not using meditation. So crystals would be one. Then you could also, before you go to sleep at night, and you are drifting off to sleep, ask that question, and you might have a dream on it. We have 2 minutes. Who's calling, please?
Carolyn, it's Helene. Maybe you don't have time to check in about location for me, because I just kind of pressed a button.
Did you say this was Helene?
I did, yes.
Helene, I would love to be able to talk to you about this, but we have like 1 minute. Can you, and that isn't going to do you justice. Can you call in next Sunday?
Oh, sure thing.
Well, call next Sunday. And yes, I think location is a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of stumbling around a little bit where you are.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Call me next Sunday. We'll be glad to work with it, because we really are going off the air.
Super. You have a great week.
You too, Helene.
Thanks.
Bye. What happens so many times is people get listening to the show, and by the time they're ready to call, we're going off the air. So what we end with, my darlings, is follow what you feel, trust your intuition, and until next Sunday, this is Carolyn Evers signing off.